In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, October 12th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Michael Lucas, a former student and football player at Colorado School of Mines, gave his alma mater a $25,000 gift. For it, the school said, he would be allowed to have a personalized locker room nameplate in their new athletic facility. After requesting the engraving to read, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters," from Colossians 3:23, and "Your hand will be lifted up in triumph over your enemies, and all your foes will be destroyed," from Micah 5:9, the university responded by telling Lucas this would not be allowed. In fact, according to the One News Now story, the school put a restriction on the gift giver, saying nameplates cannot include the words God, Lord, Jesus, or even references to Bible verses containing them. Lucas is taking the matter to court. The suit points out the university has approved nameplates for other donors that include "Give 'em hell" and "Take your whiskey clear." I'd say, give 'em heaven, Michael. ISIS has released yet another sad and disturbing video of savagery. This time, they show the brave deaths of three Assyrian Christians who defy the jihadist demands. They deny their faith and turn to Islam. The murdered Christians were among the 253 villagers abducted 7 months ago. ISIS demanded $50,000 each in ransom for the remaining Assyrians, now believed to number between 187 and 200. Hebrews 11:35 says, these three martyrs will receive a better resurrection. According to Charisma News, Wichita State University renovated the Harvey Grace Memorial Chapel last May by removing the pews and altar and replacing them with portable chairs to make room for Muslim prayer rugs. Wichita State University President John Bardo said, under the terms of the gift to the university, the chapel was supposed to be open to all creeds and to all races of people. Our goal should be exactly what Mrs. Grace set out to do in her gift, to have an all-faiths chapel that is welcoming to all religious groups on campus. In addition, student body president Joseph Shepherd said the outrage over the change was nothing less than Islamophobia. Indeed, it is the fear of God that should be the cause of the outrage, Mr. Shepherd. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. On Saturday, two simultaneous explosions rocked Turkey's capital city of Ankara, killing 95 and wounding hundreds. The terror attack, which seemed targeted at a peace rally being held near the city's main train station, occurred just after 10 a.m. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered 1,300 police reinforcements in Jerusalem on Saturday after Palestinians began attacking police. Several police were stabbed and survived. Five assailants were shot and killed on Saturday alone in separate incidents near the gates of Jerusalem's Old City and Gaza. The death of Iran's Brigadier General Hossein Hamadani in Syria this week has dealt a psychological blow to elements backing Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, according to a U.S. intelligence official. The killing of this Revolutionary Guard Corps commander at the hands of ISIS also highlights the extent of Iranian involvement in Syria and the dire straits in which Assad finds himself, according to one Washington-based analyst. As Christianity spreads like wildfire across China, with as many as 10,000 converts every day, the Chinese government has begun a systematic attempt to stop the spread of the Christian faith. According to Christianity Today, the Chinese president has become, quote, serious, unquote, about religion. An article in China's official newspaper on religious issues alluded to a crackdown on churches, clergy, and dioceses in the country. In one eastern province alone, Zhejiang, 1,700 churches have had their crosses removed or been demolished. It has been a deadly month for high school football as the fifth player, 17-year-old Roderick Williams, a lineman and tuba player from Burke County, Georgia, died during practice this past week. His death was heart-related, officials said. An angry North Arizona University student, accused of drugging and raping a classmate, opened fire on his accusers also students, killing one and injuring three on Friday. Former Secret Service agent Jerry Parr, who saved President Reagan's life in the 1981 assassination attempt by John Hinckley Jr., died on Friday at the age of 85. His willingness to give his life and his close attention to detail saved the president's life, said doctors. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Thank you, Mr. Parr, for doing your duty. And that's the World View on this Monday, October 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, the homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of this republic, Bill Jack also in studio with us right now. And as we come out of the Obergefell decision of June of 2015, most of us can hardly help but think, is God going to judge this nation? Or more accurately, are we right now under the judgment of God? And what can Christians do in the midst of all that judgment? Do think of Daniel, the prophet who all the way to the end was there as the hand appeared on the wall as the armies of Persia were working their way into Babylon. He was there. He was still there. He still had a prophetic message, meaning in a tekel upharsin, your days have been numbered. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Daniel was there to the very end, and I think Christians have a role in the civil magistrate to continue to press back upon the tyranny in Washington and the invitation on the part of the five Supreme Court justices of the United States to God's judgment. Obergefell was an invitation, a formal invitation on the part of the leaders of this nation for Almighty God to come to this nation and wipe off the face of the map. Bill Jack in studio right now. There are some states, there are some counties across America trying to exempt themselves from God's judgment. Now, God's judgment is real. Now, you know what? We get a little flack from time to time when we bring this out. 2 years ago, you remember, with the worst fires in this state's history, yep, worst floods in the state's history, and the worst legislature in the state's history, where leaders in the state legislature were caught on the front page of the Denver Post performing a homosexual act. And, of course, homosexuality, abortion, every other egregious sin that I can think of was approved by the legislature that year. And the same year, with the worst legislature, we also had the worst storms, the worst floods, and the worst fires in this state's history in terms of cost. And I put those things together and suggested that there may be a God in the heavens who is still as attuned to what's happening on earth as he was during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, and received a fair amount of flack from local media sources when I said that. Now, actually, I didn't put the one-to-one. I just suggested there might be a God in the heaven who still judges mankind, and they didn't appreciate that message. But I think the more we can spread that message, the better, especially as we are on the very cusp of an entire breakdown of a socioeconomic system. That, my friends, is the biggest no-brainer we have ever said on this program in the last year. We are in judgment right now. The socioeconomic system of the entire nation is in free fall, and the Supreme Court of the United States has formally invited God to judge this nation.
I agree, and what we see is that I'm encouraged because there's now some pushback. There are people who have said, okay, we've been rocked on our heels. Christians have been rocked on our heels, and Christians in positions of authority and positions of leadership at state and local levels. And now they're saying, okay, how can we address this? We're not going to sit and wring our hands. We're going to be like Daniel. We're going to be proactive. We're going to stand up and we're going to say, look, I'm going to open up the windows on my condo. Okay. And I'm going to pray publicly, knowing full well that, you know, you got Bill O'Reilly and the Factor filming him from across the alley. You got CBS, NBC, CNN, all got their cameras on me. And I'm going to pray anyway. And I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And you're not going to do anything about it. And we're going to see whose God is really God.
Bill, this is a gun to the head moment. And, you know, we've talked about the gun to the head moment, the theoretical, hypothetical situation for the last 100 years in American Christian churches.
Well, the gun is to the head right now of every legislator, every governor, every Christian in politics. The gun is to the head. Either you will worship this idol, either you will kowtow to homosexuality, either you will participate in this sexual perversion right now, or we will kill you.
Yeah. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what Christians are saying? They're beginning to say this. Mm-hmm. You know, O King, O Supreme Court, you can put us in the furnace, but yeah. God can take us through the fire or God can take us out of the fire. It doesn't matter because we're going to obey God.
That's right. One of my favorite comments. Yeah. He gave him the entire night to figure it out. Yeah. He came back to him and said, King, we actually didn't even bother considering the question. We were playing cards all night.
Yeah.
You can put us in the pizza oven if you want to, yeah. but we're not going to worship your stupid idol. And you got to appreciate the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And any Christian in politics, in the legislature, any pastor has got to be able to stand and preach. And by the way, this last weekend, it was the Political Sermon Sunday ADF sponsors each and every year. So I took the opportunity on a Sunday afternoon. We had actually a congressman visit our service on Sunday afternoon. I took the opportunity to preach at him and to the entire congregation from God's word and basically laid out Washington, D.C.'s agenda for him from the word of God on Sunday afternoon last. And it was a wonderful experience. And the IRS can come after me if they want to. But, you know, we want to encourage legislators to put their lives on the line. The time has finally arrived, friends. It's either obey God and be blessed or obey man and be damned. We're really at that point, Bill. It's a very fine edge right now. That's why I appreciate Blount County Commissioner, who has issued a resolution suggesting or encouraging the county, the Blount County in East Tennessee, just south of Knoxville, to avoid the judgment of God and to adopt this resolution before God brings this wrath as he did upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities. I'm not going to read the entire resolution, but this thing's got guts. This thing's got a lot of truth in it. Of course, it's opposed to the Supreme Court of the United States and the Obergefell decision. And it is calling for God's mercy upon the county. Now, the odds of this thing passing, I'd say, are very, very slight. But the fact of the matter is, this resolution was put together by one particular commissioner, Commissioner Karen Miller. And you got to appreciate this resolution that was brought to this county commission out in Blount County, Tennessee. And, you know, I think what she's saying is she wants to exempt this county. And she believes that God is as much a judge of the nations as he was in the Old Testament time. There are some who think that God in the New Testament is a kinder, gentler God, will not hold nations to the same account as he did with the nation of Israel in AD 70, which, by the way, came after Christ. And he's not going to hold nations accountable as he did with Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. But man, you know, you think to yourself, if he's going to hold all these nations to account in the Old Testament, but not in the New Testament, then why in the world did Paul on Mars Hill say that God winked at much of the iniquity committed by the Gentile nations in the Old Testament, but now commands all men everywhere to repent? Why is repentance so much more crucial right now than it was in Old Testament times per the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill? No, I think God is connected to what is going on in our world today as he was in Old Testament times. God is not asleep. The Son of God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The sword in his mouth is being used to bring all of his enemies under his footstool. And these nations better repent and serve Christ or they will be wiped off the map. That's the message I take. Now we're going to take a quick break. And as we come back, look at another important legislation coming from legislators in the state of Tennessee. Really important stuff. In just a moment on the Generations broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, impressed with some of the legislators who are standing in the gap. And the most courageous legislators and leaders in America right now are people like Kim Davis out in Kentucky and this Karen Miller out in Blount County, Tennessee. And another county
woman,
clerk.
Another county clerk, Molly Kreiner. And Molly Kreiner is the mother of one of our staffers at Worldview Academy. In fact, I just saw her daughter just yesterday at our camp down in Texas, and I was able to catch up with what was happening because Molly Kreiner, as county clerk, had come out back in July and said, I am not going to issue same-sex marriage licenses my county. And so I had an opportunity to visit with her at that time, and I wanted to find out what the latest was. And she is now going around talking to groups of people, and she's emphasizing that this is a states' rights issue. It is a religious liberties issue, but more important to the people of Texas is this idea that if the Supreme Court can usurp the authority of the state in the area of marriage, then they certainly can do it in other areas, such as Second Amendment.
Of course. And, okay, of course, Hillary Clinton just recently, another woman of tremendous courage, over on the other side. She promised she would circumvent the legislature, the Congress. She promised that she would press this thing through. She would be a banana republic dictator for the United States of America in the years to come if Americans would elect their next dictator. Now, she's running for dictator, and I think she's, I don't know if she said it yet, but she's more or less said it. She's not running for president of the United States. She's running for dictatorship.
Would that be Madam Dictatress?
Something like that. Yeah. And here's the question. Whether Americans would vote for a Robespierre or a Castro, or a Hillary Clinton, I'm guessing they probably would, but we'll see. It'd be the mercy of God if he spares us from a dictator.
But what's fascinating is you've got, on the other side, you've got these women who are legislators, who are civil magistrates, who are standing against Hillary Clinton. So what's so funny about this is, This is a war among women, not a war on women.
This is the Deborahs.
This is the
this
Deborahs.
This is the age of Deborahs. And why? Because every man does that which is right in his own eyes. America has seen the tremendous breakdown of manhood in family, church, and state. And we are under the judgment of God as a nation. But praise God for Deborahs who from time to time will stand in the gap.
And I am encouraged too, because again, I just got back from our Texas fall camp at Worldview Academy, and we took 160 students out on the streets of Austin for about 45 minutes to let them share their faith. And they had, about 8 people indicate faith in Christ out on the streets of Austin. In Austin. Now, Austin is not Texas.
It's Boulder,
the Colorado. It is California stuck in the middle of Texas. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the gospel, the power of the gospel still changes lives, and it does it dramatically. What we need to do is change not only men's hearts, but men's minds. We need to get them to think God's thoughts after him. And I'm encouraged by our students because we deal with this issue. We deal with the issue of homosexuality. We deal with the issues that are facing the culture, and we give a biblical perspective so that they can go back and address this in their sphere of influence and become Molly Kreiners. They can become Kim Davises. They can become even legislators like the legislators in Tennessee.
Well, you think of Kim Davis. She's an excellent example of somebody who wasn't even a Christian, what, 4 or 5 years ago after, what, 4 or 5 divorces. And by God's grace, she came to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And where that happens, oftentimes these people become those radical, the most courageous, the most faith-filled believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they apply their faith in various avenues of life.
Yeah.
And that begins, perhaps, in a Worldview Academy camp or something like that. So you got to appreciate these sorts of efforts, and you got to appreciate the fact that the Spirit of God is still alive and well and working in the hearts of these young people. Well, let's get back into the state of Tennessee, because I want to point to one more thing. You mentioned states' rights, and this is another example of states' rights, because there's got to be courageous men who will stand in interposition. And believe me, my friends, after writing the book on freedom, I have come to the conclusion that freedom has only been secured by interposition, by lower magistrates fighting the good fight. It's never happened by kings, monarchs, or Supreme Court justices in major federal republics. Ain't going to happen in centralized forms of government. You'll never, ever see freedom secured by large governments. It will always be the lower magistrates, always the Patrick Henrys, the governors of Virginia's, always the Samuel Adams that push for the Bill of Rights. Read my book, Freedom, and you will get the picture that freedom is sustained by interposition and lower magistrates fighting the good fight.
And we see that in rights. Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Senate Bill 1437, House Bill 1412 mm-hmm. has been proposed, and it is so encouraging. It starts out with a lot of whereases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I'm going, whereas, but I start reading them and I go, wow, these whereases are pretty powerful, because they're quoting the dissenting Supreme Court justices in the Obergefell case. And they say this: whereas the United States Supreme Court is not the sole and final arbiter of the powers of the states under the 9th and 10th Amendment when it acts in an area outside of its jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, whereas the United States Supreme Court is not infallible and has issued lawless decisions which are repulsive to the Constitution and natural laws. And then it goes on to enact, say, we will enact this law.
And they virtually quote the dissenters.
Yes, they do.
In the Obergefell yep. case. And think that's instructive, because the dissenters were, I think, doing their utmost to push this back to interposition for state leaders who had the courage to push back upon the unlawful, unconstitutional conclusions drawn by the 5 dictators that head up the Supreme Court of the United States and refused to submit themselves to the law of the land. These are lawless men and women that have made this decision, and that, according to the dissenters, therefore, it is brilliant, I think, that these state legislators appeal to the dissenters.
I agree.
Is the Supreme Court justices that threw the flag on the play for the 5 that made the lawless decision. It was lawless in 2 senses. One, it did not submit to the Constitution of the United States, which, by the way, is the law of the land, not the Supreme Court, but the Constitution of the United States. Also, it's lawless in the sense that it did not submit itself to the laws of the creator of the universe. And for those 2 reasons, of course, the state of Tennessee ought to oppose the Supreme Court of the United States with everything they've got.
Here's one of the whereases. Whereas the Obergefell opinion is, quote, an act of will, not legal judgment, end quote, and the, quote, right it announces has no basis in the Constitution or the court's precedent, end quote, and they're citing Chief Justice Roberts in his dissenting opinion.
There you go, my friends.
And they keep going, and this is called the Tennessee Natural Marriage Defense Act. And here's what the act is. The act is a movement to, quote, the act shall be known as Tennessee Natural Marriage Defense Act. It is the policy of the state of Tennessee to defend natural marriage as recognized by the people of Tennessee in the Constitution and the laws of the state of Tennessee, consistent with natural law, and get this, and the written United States Constitution. I think that's brilliant. It's not the supposed United States Constitution. It's not what the Supreme Court has ruled as the United States Constitution, but it is the written United States Constitution. And it goes on to say, we're going to defend marriage between a man and a woman, and no state agency Local agency or official shall give force or effect to any court order that has the effect of violating this act. And we will defend any official or individual who is prosecuted by the feds on defending natural marriage. So they are just, this is really good.
Bottom line, my friends, is that the states cannot live with their Obergefell decision. The bottom line is a Christian governor or any Christian person or any Christian leader, whether it be county clerk, governor, or legislator, simply cannot live with the Obergefell decision. There is absolutely no way that they can live with that decision. They will have to disobey the law. They will have to press back upon the Obergefell decision against the federal government of the United States. And I'm happy that the state of Tennessee is initiating this bill, and it's hard to know whether it will pass. But inevitably, somebody's going to have to exempt themselves from this. Some state's going to have to exempt themselves from this in order to exempt themselves from the judgment of God. Hey, do remember that Jesus Christ is riding through the nations. His mouth bears a sharp sword that strikes down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe, on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If there's any question in your mind that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father, ruling until all of his enemies are under his footstool, you need to check out Acts 2. Because to understand history and to understand your position in history, you need to know who's king. You need to understand who rules. You need to understand why he brings the Roman Empire down, why he brought the Spanish Empire down when they went after Christians, tried to persecute Christians through the Inquisition, then why he brought the English Empire down, as well as the French Empire shortly after the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre. Why does he bring these empires down? Why? Why does he crush the empires? Here's why. Because he's on the right hand of the Father, and he rules until all of his enemies are on his footstool. And that's, my friend, why we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we could care less what Huffington Post thinks, or what the media thinks, or what Barack Obama thinks, or what the Supreme Court of the United States thinks, when we will disobey the laws that are imposed upon us, the lawless laws imposed upon us by the Supreme Court of the United States.
We train students at Worldview Academy that they are always to be obedient to true authority, and true authority comes from God. It's not man's laws that they're being disobedient to. It is they are being obedient to God's laws. I love the way that this piece of legislation reads in part. It says, any court decision purporting to strike down natural marriage, including Obergefell, is unauthoritative, void, and of no effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, that, my friends, is a bill that is being presented before the Tennessee legislature. And we're going to keep you up to speed on what's happening as occasional counties and occasional states across the United States attempt to exempt themselves from the lawlessness and the judgment of God that attends that lawlessness in various islands across this country. And I would encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Freedom. And we have no subtitle for that book. It's simply Freedom. You like freedom? You want to read about freedom? You want to know a biblical approach to freedom? You want to know a biblical definition of freedom? You want to understand the battle for freedom that has gone on for the last 800 years at the hands of lower magistrates, men and women of unbelievable courage who have brought about freedom in the Western world? You want to read the story? Get a copy of my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson, also Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.